Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is new life. It's new life in Christ. It's human beings being brought from death to life, a work of God, which it's fundamentally a work of God with which we cooperate. We say yes to. We yield our heart, mind, soul, and strength to God's purpose and plan, but it's fundamentally a work of God. And it's important to remember it. I mean, it might sound very obvious, but I think there's a lot of confusion today about what it means to become a Christian in its essence. People talk as if everybody in the world is a quote-unquote child of God. Now, in some way, understood correctly, that's right. But oftentimes what people don't see is that what the apostles are teaching us and what Jesus said so clearly is that something fundamental needs to happen with every single human being and every human heart. God's grace needs to become active in a way that it's likely not active, or at least we shouldn't presume that it's active. And that is, God has given us his Son, who became one of us and took on human flesh. And in Jesus, the life of heaven, the divine life, God's life, what we referred to yesterday reading from 1 John, when he said so beautiful that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So the new thing that happened in the ministry of Christ in his coming to us, as the apostles described it, wasn't mainly about saying, yeah, he was just such an insightful philosopher, and he had a whole new take on philosophy that kind of extended beyond Plato or Confucius or something. He didn't say, yes, he brought us the highest moral system that we've ever seen. You could see Christianity as a kind of philosophy for sure. And certainly morality is a key part of how we live out what it means to be a Christian. But what John was saying, and what the apostles underlined, and what they were most captivated by, and what they understood to be the essence and the defining difference about Christianity, is they said the eternal life that was with the Father has been manifested to us. What's being offered in Christ, what Christ offers us, and what he offers it to the world through the church, is a life that people don't have on their own. We are certainly all made in the image and likeness of God. We all have a conscience. We all are loved by God. God loves every single person he creates. He loves his creation, especially human beings, the crown of his creation. But he loves us so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. Christianity is all about that everlasting life. In fact, that's what the apostles preached and proclaimed. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we talked about a number of weeks ago during that post-Easter, between Easter and Pentecost, some of the programs we did, Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John, St. Peter and St. John, have been dragged before the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, and the captain of the temple, and the religious leaders. And they're being questioned, and all eventually they're beaten for the preaching they did in the temple. And the section there in chapter 4 said that the priests and religious leaders were annoyed because the apostles were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now remember, Luke chapter 24, one of the appearances of Jesus, post-resurrection appearances of Jesus with the apostles, Jesus has gathered them close and he's saying, okay, now, this is the reason, it says he opened the scripture to them so they could understand the meaning of why he had to be crucified. And he said that the Messiah who is to come must suffer and die and on the third day rise again. And Jesus said, to this you're witnesses. You know it's true. Now, go forward and testify to what you've seen and bring repentance and forgiveness of sins, so that people can have their sins forgiven, and in having their sins forgiven, can be brought now into the new life, the resurrection life that's in Jesus. So that's on the forefront of the apostles' preaching, their life and understanding, and how they pastored their communities to not forget what's at the center of our life. And friends, that's what gives you and gives me, that's what gives the Christian a new identity. That's the power, as John the Apostle said, that makes it possible for us to become children of God. To become a child of God is the result of Christ's action. Christ applying both the cross, his cross, to our lives by nailing your sin and my sin to the cross. He took sin, he took your sin, he took my sin upon himself, and he died my death, he died your death. So Jesus comes to deal with the sin problem, which we simply can't do on our own strength. He has to do it. He's the only one who can do it. And so being united to Jesus is absolutely essential. And where does that happen? It happens in baptism. And then, of course, he's the one alone who can give to human beings the power of this new life, the power of an indestructible life, by being united to him, the one who swallowed up death in victory, who conquered it, made a public show of Satan and all the powers set against us. And he makes a way for us to be united in him. And so to be united in the life of Jesus is what makes us children of God. It's not my human achievement as the result of things that I've done. And it's not an automatic by virtue of being born a human being. We have to be born again, Jesus said. So the apostles talk about it in a variety of different places. I love some sections in Titus, St. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and following. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men." The grace of God, what is that? It's God's gift. Grace means gift. What's the gift? The gift is a person. It's Jesus. And why is Jesus a gift? Why is Jesus uniquely God's gift? He's God's son. Now, philosophies have come down through history from people like Plato, like Aristotle, and their disciples said, we knew Aristotle, we knew Plato, here's what they taught. And it's made its way down through history. And we can somehow touch that person through what they've taught. But the grace of God is something different. The grace of God has appeared in a person, in Jesus, who's come to us. And he hasn't just passed on his ideas, which he has, but he's passed on his life, which is a new power that gives us a new capacity to live that new way of life, to live a transformed life. So this is what Paul's going to touch on here in these wonderful verses in Titus. He'll say, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men." To be saved means what? To be saved from the power of sin and death, to be saved from hell for heaven. And then to train us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. There's a lot packed in just those few verses. Paul's exhorting the believers to remember who they are. Right? The grace of God has appeared. You've been born anew. You've come alive now in Christ. So live and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Live the life that you now have a power and a capacity to live by his grace. So put away the old man. Renounce irreligion, false religion, lies. Renounce it. Make a break from it. Turn from it. And worldly passions that dominate us. The scripture is very clear that worldly passion is often what characterized us in what Paul will describe as our former way of living. But instead, await the blessed hope. Stand with confidence each day, with great expectation, with genuine, heartfelt anticipation of what awaits us when we see the Lord finally, when we enter into his glory, the glory that awaits us. He's the one who gave himself up for us, St. Paul says, to redeem us, to buy us back, to take us out of all iniquity, the iniquity which is sin, which is what was enslaving us. He goes on, and he wants us to declare, he says in verse 15, he says to Titus, make sure, declare these things. Christianity, the gospel, the core of it is declared even more than it's taught. It's proclaimed. It's announced. It's the fact of God's salvation. It's God's gospel. It's the good news about what God has done for the world. It's the biggest news any of us can know. It's the news that will actually change our lives instead of discouraging us and making us frustrated and angry like a lot of the news is today, right? Chapter 3, he said, remind everyone to be submissive to rulers and authorities and to be obedient, to be ready for any honest work and to speak evil to no one, to avoid quarreling. So he's talking about what are the habit patterns of life that begin to emerge in us that we ought to pursue when we start to live like Christ and follow in his footsteps and be that new creation. Verse 3 now, he starts to dial in. He says, for we ourselves were once foolish. We were disobedient. We were led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. Does any of that resonate with you? We're called to put away the old man. This is a description, one of many in the New Testament, of what living like the old man, living in the old man, what it was like. Right? Foolishness, disobedience, being led astray, slaves to passions and pleasures, passing our days with malice and envy. And then he turns in verse 4, he says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about baptism there, right? The washing of regeneration. We're born again. That's what he's referring to here. Our sins are washed away. God's life now is regenerated in us. A new life is given to us. And that's how we become children of God. And we're renewed in the Holy Spirit. In verse 6, he goes on to say, this Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Jesus is the only Savior, because he's the only one who can do this. Salvation means being saved from a different power that's at work in us, a death-directed power called sin and death. We need a new power, a new life, a new capacity. Only Jesus can give it. It's poured upon us richly through him. Verse 7, he says, so that we might be justified, made right, put in right relationship with God by his grace, by this gift. He says, we become heirs in hope to eternal life. You are an heir in hope, in confidence, in expectation, and anticipation. You will one day share because of the down payment that's been given to you in baptism and the eternal life that comes from God. And then Paul says, this saying is sure. He's saying, you can take this to the bank. This is what it's all about, friends. Let's live in it, walk in it, and let it change us. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.